So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at consumer fraud issues today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. Great to have them back. They come by every month, stop by from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to talk about those folks that are trying to separate your money and mine from our pockets, and in not a nice way. And so it's good to have them back every month to just sort of remind us what's going on and to tell us about new things that are going on in the way of scams and fraud. If you have a question, I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Michelle Reinen, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having us.
And Sandy Chalmers, thank you for coming by as well.
Thanks, Larry. Nice to be here.
Now, Sandy, I think there was at least one person who was not listening to this show or has not listened to the show when you two have been on because a couple days ago, somebody fell for the IRS scam.
Yeah, we're still hearing from people who have fallen victim to this scam and hearing news reports about these people. So please remember that if you get a call from a person or a recording from somebody saying they're with the IRS and you owe money and you need to pay right away or you're going to be thrown in jail or hauled into court, this is a scam. And it can be a very high-pressure call, but it's...
It's a scam.
It's a scam.
And so, and that was somebody lost out to the tune of several thousand dollars.
Right. So this is, again, something that you want to talk to your friends and neighbors about to make sure that they know, too, that this is a scam.
What about the contractors? This time of the year, spring's here, you'll get contractors coming through and wanting to do some work on your house. There's some scams associated with some of them, not all, but some, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there are a lot of great home improvement companies in this state. But with springtime in Wisconsin also comes storms, whether it's high winds, hailstorms, even tornadoes. And what we see every year is that people come from out of state and follow the path of the storm, and they'll go door to door saying, you know, I can fix your siding real quick for a very low price. And what happens quite frequently, unfortunately, is that they take the money and then, you know, blow out of town without doing any work. So it pays to do your research. You know, even though you may have a fairly urgent situation, use a local company that you know, somebody that your friends and neighbors have recommended, and just use a healthy dose of skepticism when somebody comes knocking at your door. Look at their license plate and see whether they're from Wisconsin or from out of state before you hand over money.
I feel kind of lucky because we have a guy in our neighborhood who is really skilled at a lot of those things, and we know him, and he does great work, and a local guy.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
And the thing is, if you're spending $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to repair this damage, if there's problems down the road, you want a local business that you can go back to and check on the warranty and any problems. And these people just blow through town so quickly, and you'll never find them again.
And it seems like there are more door-to-door salespersons in these warmer months. I had one coming by my home to try and sell me some painting, which I turned down, but... I guess the warm weather brings everybody out.
Absolutely. Door-to-door sales is an original sales technique where people communicated face-to-face with one another about what they had to sell. And it's not a bad technique. People just need to be aware of who's knocking on their door. And do they need the service that's being offered at that point in time? None of those reactionary decisions. And again, just like the contractors that chase the storms, there are waves of people who come into this state during certain times of year to sell different kinds of goods. And you want to follow up with a local company, check them out before you engage. Some of them can be extremely aggressive, but when they come to the door, they should tell you who they are, what they're selling, give you a full price, and because they've come to your door, a 3-day right to cancel so you can change your mind. But again, like Sandy mentioned with the storm chasers, check the license plate, see how they're selling. Do they have the proper permits for your municipality to be knocking on your door and sell those things? We see it with, you know, windows, meat, television, magazines, alarm companies. There's a whole spectrum of different kinds of goods that are sold that way. And it's checking it out and making decisions, sound decisions for yourself and knowing what you're buying.
We have callers online, but we have open lines. Get you on pretty quickly with your question or comment at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Ted in Grand Rapids. Thank you for calling.
Hey, you're certainly welcome. I have a situation where I recently purchased a new used vehicle. And as part of the purchase contract, they slipped in a maintenance card membership type of deal where we get additional oil changes and a variety of other benefits. But we live some distance from the dealership, so it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so the question is there a way to get out from underneath that contract?
Well, in the state of Wisconsin, the sale of vehicles, whether new or used, but the sale of vehicles by a dealer are handled by the Department of Transportation, and so they would better be able to answer your question. But what we would tell any consumer as it relates to any sales product is knowing what your contract states and talk to them and negotiate on that contract. Purchase what it is you want to purchase. I don't know of any obligation to buy extended warranties or memberships. And if something is a gift to you, then it's a gift. You don't need to pay for that. And you, maybe you could alter some pricing as well if you're not going to take advantage of some gifts.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, I certainly understand that, but one of the things that we discovered is that the person who closed the deal threw in front of us about 25 different forms and talked very fast. And, you know, it would seem reasonable to get some of that paperwork ahead of time so that suddenly you're not faced with a tsunami of paperwork where they explain very, you know, in a very short manner what's contained in those things and what you're signing for.
Yeah.
Right, and that's certainly something when you know that there's a closing. A lot of dealers schedule a closing appointment, and sometimes it lasts an hour because they have to show you the car and work with the finance person for so long. You certainly can ask to see the paperwork up front. I don't know of too many who do that because they want to walk through it with you, but it's certainly take the time you need to understand your paperwork because that's your signature and you're agreeing to what's in those terms and conditions.
And in the meantime, as you say, I would go back and try and do a little negotiating.
Absolutely. And if you don't get anywhere and you feel that you were misled during the sales process, the Department of Transportation would be the place in Wisconsin for a Wisconsin-based dealer that you would go.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Ted. We have Shay in New Berlin up next. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
What can we do for you today?
I'm actually a door-to-door meat vendor for a smaller company out of New Berlin. I listen to the show when I'm on the road all the time. I just have to say it's really fantastic what you're doing here. I talk to people on a daily basis who have bought bad meat from companies that wasn't USDA certified, often from out of state. And it's always a real shame to see that, especially when it comes to any environment, door-to-door with any commodity, any food product. Definitely check your certification. Make sure that there is a standard of quality. Make sure that you know where it's getting sourced from. And research the company.
Oh, we're losing you. I think if you're riding in your car right now, you went out of our service area or the service area. So, I think though, Sandy, that what he's saying makes Good sense.
Yeah, that's really good advice, to take your time to do your research before making a decision to buy or not. And some of these, you know, door-to-door salesmen that have a fraudulent item to pitch use extremely high-pressure sales tactics, and they will do anything to get their either inside your house, and then they won't leave. So it can be very difficult. But one of the things that we recommend is that you don't let the salesman inside your home. It's a lot easier to say no to somebody who's standing on your front porch than it is to get them outside of your house once they're in.
Yeah. So good point, Shay. Thank you so much for calling. And we'll turn to Scott and pray to Sheen next. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What have you got for us today?
Well, I go through my bank account every couple days, and in mid-March, I found a couple charges to Wayfair.com that my wife or I had not purchased. So I called Wayfair and told them, well, you know, this is not my charge, and they said that somebody from North Dakota had used my card number to purchase some stuff. So I went to the bank, changed my card and everything. She had my correct name and billing address, but the destination address was different. Now, how do they get our card numbers? I don't know anybody in North Dakota, and I'm just wondering how that happened.
Well, you're lucky your bank account didn't get drained.
Yes, and I'm checking every day now.
Yeah, for sure. Michelle, you want to comment?
There's many ways, and you never usually know the exact way how they get the number, but there are skimmers out there. So if you've used your credit card at an unattended gas station or ATM machine that may have had a skimmer put on it with potentially a pinhole camera to pick up pass numbers, PIN numbers that way, it could just be through a crook at a cash register who's collecting numbers that way. It could be through a system, a data breach that has had been hacked into a system as well, or a point of sale system hack. So it's usually very much unknown by the consumer how the number was obtained, but catching it, that monitoring, taking actions and steps, putting alerts on your credit card so you get notified of transactions that take place someplace else, filing disputes with your credit card company, and then checking your credit report, making sure that others haven't taken out extensions of credit in your name so you can really be in front of any potential identity theft there. And one of the best tools that we know of is to place a security freeze on your credit report if you're in a position to do that. It's $10 for each of the three credit reporting agencies, and it freezes your credit so that way people can't take out credit cards, bank loans, mortgages, car loans, whatever it may be, unless you thaw that freeze. And then it's only thawed for about 3 days, and so it's a great tool to really get in front of identity theft.
But a debit card, you're really sunk there.
Yeah, that's your money. It's not the same as a credit card. Some debit cards have some protections. Some have very limited protections. And so you want to know that and be very cautious about where you use it and how you use it and who you give that number to.
Yeah, I changed the number, and the bank helped immediately. I got the card right there. And then I also got hold of the credit reports, and I have a 90-day fraud alert on that, on all three companies, so that, you know, somebody has to show their ID in order to get any credit, which is good.
Yeah, excellent. You did the right thing, Scott. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking consumer protection issues today with our two guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Chris Molina, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us as we talk consumer protection issues with our two guests today, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. I'm Larry Mueller. Kathleen Dunn at 2 o'clock will be doing a show. A former drug dealer will be talking about his transformation from drug kingpin to master's student at Johns Hopkins University. Interesting show there, and interesting to be talking about consumer protection issues. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Neil in Milwaukee next. Hi, Neil.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
I have a question about what DadCap can do to help with this situation. Somebody had gotten my credit card number, created an account with Uber, and then I got about 20-plus charges for using their service. I've never had an Uber account. What was frustrating was all of these charges took place basically at the same time. It's clearly impossible to be in 20 cabs at the same time. Luckily, Visa, the credit card company, took care of the whole thing, issued me a new card. But my question is, what can DadCap do to make sure that company models like Uber don't result in fraud?
Okay, Michelle, we'll turn to you for that.
Well, first we'd want you to file a complaint so we can make contact with the company about the experience that you had, and then we can get into what procedures that they have in place. But in some cases, if someone were paying for all the Ubers for a wedding party, it could be a lot of cabs. But we'd want to look at it, and we'd look at this in terms of identity theft because someone fraudulently took over an account. And sometimes it's difficult for a company to know that a fraud is occurring until after the fact, when that consumer who's impacted by it brings it to the company's attention. But we'll want to look into their procedures. So filing a complaint, you can do that online at dadcap.wi.gov, or you can call our 800 number and have a form sent out to you. And that's 1-800-422-7128.
There we go. And, of course, ahead of time, things that you're doing like right now are the kinds of, education and information. I mean, basically, that's what you've got to work with, Sandy.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You try to inform people and let them know about what to do if there is a problem or what to look out for. And then if there is a problem anyway, then you come back after the fact, and then you can file, you can do some good.
Right, Neil, noticing it was on the credit card is that first step, that monitoring.
And you guys, I think for a year, you publish at the end of the year kind of a little summary of how many dollars you've gotten back for consumers in the state?
We do, Larry. Last year it was over about $4 million that were returned. Oh. Year to year it varies based on court cases, big cases, that investigations that may settle, but it's definitely exceeds that $2 million every year. But last year we were in that $4 million range.
Yeah, one of the basic things we do is serve as an intermediary between a consumer and the business, and sometimes breakdowns in communications occur, mm-hmm. and we're able to step in and kind of repair that communication channel and get some results for consumers.
Thanks again, Neil, for calling. Dwayne and Madison, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I was wondering, I have a bunch of friends, including myself, where we pay like a monthly fee to the LifeLock or one of those agencies that are supposed to help, protect your identity and your credit, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was wondering, are you better off just paying the $10 for the three agencies that you can pay to lock up your credit unless they have their approval to have somebody go in and try and, open up, get a loan or something like that? I'm wondering, is it worth spending all that money to protect that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we do recommend that consumers place a security freeze on their credit files. And as Michelle explained, it's $10 per credit reporting bureau, so a total of $30. But it really is worth it that you know that nobody's going to be able to open a new account under your name without your knowledge. LifeLock and the other similar companies offer a wide range of services. They comb through different databases and look for whether your identity is being used. They search through court documents and arrest files and things like that. So if somebody's using your name and social security number, you would be notified. They also monitor your credit files to see whether there are any pings or unauthorized activity. And many of these services also provide identity theft insurance or credit repair help. So really, it's a personal decision for you as a consumer. A lot of these things you can do on your own by just monitoring your credit report on a regular basis, monitoring your credit card statements and bank statements, and keeping close tabs on your digital footprint. So we don't recommend one way or the other. It's really up to you, and you know best whether you're the type of consumer that is likely to keep tabs on all that. If you're not, it may be worth it to pay the $10 a month to have somebody else do it.
Yeah, there we go. All right, thanks a lot for calling, Duane. Irene and Phillips, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, hi there. I just heard reference made to watching your statements, your credit card statements as they come in each month. And I keep all, just a word of caution to some listeners, I keep all of my statements, I mean my receipts during the month, and I compare them against my statement from the credit card company, and I have found a number of overcharges, double charges. And I quickly call the credit card issuing company, and I'm happy to say they take care of it quickly and make sure that that I am credited for the overcharge. Hopefully, I don't know what they do with the merchant, but it happens, and it was just something I've learned, and I wanted to pass that on.
Well, thanks very much for calling. Comment?
Yeah, it pays to be vigilant, and you're a good consumer in that way. And I feel like a lot of people just take the statements at face value, and you should carefully monitor them because mistakes are made. And if they are made, you're the one that pays for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Irene. Steve in Green Bay, we turn to you next. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Mr. Larry.
What can we do for you today?
A piece of advice for the people who get the visit from the unsolicited. For us, it was the guys with the asphalt who wanted to asphalt our driveway because they had extra, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
And my wife happened to be upstairs dealing with them, and she just happened, I was down in the shop, and she said, come on up, Mike, you got to deal with this. Walked up, a couple of guys are telling me how they had all this extra stuff, and I listened to their whole spiel, and I said, no, thanks. And they insisted, and I just said, well, wait a minute. Went outside, had my cell phone in my pocket like most people do. I took a picture of their license plate and the VIN number of their vehicle, and that was all it took to dissuade them.
Wow. Well, what do you think of that approach, Michelle?
Well, that's pretty valuable information to have if we are doing an investigation, so good job. No, that's one means. You need to be careful because sometimes the characters of some of the people knocking on the door can be aggressive. We've heard reports of that, and you never know, so just keep your personal safety in mind as well. But that's, you know, get them outside, get them out of your home and property, and if they're not going to depart upon your request, then that's when you call your local law enforcement to help them depart. So yep, that was a good one way of doing that worked for him.
All right. Thanks, Steve. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Lee in Wausau up next. Hi, Lee. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about computer operations, and when I turn my computer on in my email, I frequently, several times a week, get pop-ups for somebody, I think Microsoft, wanting to install Windows 10, which I ignore. But I've had several people say they've gotten this, and eventually it even downloads by itself, and then they have lots of problems accessing their information. And I'm wondering who else has heard of this, and I just can't believe, I guess it's a free program, but I don't want it, and I don't want anybody interfering with my computer operation. Have you heard of this?
Yes, actually, we have heard of that, and there are updates that come with programs and software that you have on your computer, and you can access those and make determinations, and usually they include security patches, but you need to watch for and balance that against pop-ups that are malicious in nature and could contain malware, so knowing that difference. Typically, if you go to your operating system and look for software updates and pay attention to those, that's the best method of making sure you're getting legitimate things that you want to make decisions about whether or not you're downloading them. But again, keeping your system as up to date with all those security patches is important to combat other viruses and things that can be loaded onto your computer. You do need to watch and balance that against the ransomware pop-ups that are out there that we've seen a lot of complaints about recently, where there are people saying you have a virus on your computer, you need to give us access or pay us money to deal with this, and you want to back out of that. Don't click anything, Control-Alt-Delete, get out of your system, back up to a previous day's settings of your computer, and then clean your machine. Make sure you're using your antivirus software and cleaning your machine and giving it a real clean, deep clean.
Yeah, and the Windows folks have been, Microsoft has been pushing that 10,
yeah.
Windows 10 very hard. So it's quite possible it was Microsoft.
Legit, and it's hard because there's the Microsoft imposter out there right now,
yes.
Versus the legitimate upgrades.
There you go, Lee. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Nancy in Grafton, it's your turn. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I got a notice from the Milwaukee Journal.
Okay.
My subscription was running out this month, and I needed to renew my subscription. And I didn't know for sure if this was true. So I looked in my checkbook. I have copies of my checks. And last August, I paid my year's subscription, and I wrote on the check 1 year. And I just think this is, what the heck is going on, that they would tell me that my subscription was running out this month when really it doesn't run out until August. So I called them, and I told them about this. Oh, they'll have to check it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Your subscription doesn't run out until August. And I just wanted people to know that, and, you know, if I wouldn't have had a copy of that, I probably wouldn't have remembered when the heck I did order it, you know, or renew it. But
that's
what happened to me, and the price, holy mackerel, it's so much higher now than it was last year. So just be careful when you get an order or that your subscription runs out. Something's haywire there.
Well, thanks, Nancy, for calling. And I get this pretty often with magazines.
Yeah.
As an example.
And unfortunately, there are fraudulent pitches for magazines and newspapers. And seems like a year or two or so ago, we heard from people who were getting phony subscription requests from the State Journal. So that does happen, and it's good that Nancy checked up on that. But in general, magazine and newspapers tend to be kind of aggressive when it comes to subscription renewals. So if you do have any questions about it, call the customer service number and do just as she did.
Pat and Madison up next. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thank you. I no longer worry about someone abusing my credit card because I went online and I set up alerts with my credit card company so that every time my card is used, I get a text and an email alerting me that it's been used. And I did the same thing with my ATM card. So as soon as someone runs my card, I know about it or tries to use my number. Also, regarding a credit freeze, I set that up as well. And when I wanted to get a phone, they, of course, wanted to check my credit. And I was able to arrange just a 24-hour release so that I didn't have to, you know, cancel the freeze and then do it all over again. So I thought I'd just pass that on.
Lots of good safeguards you're doing there, Pat, I think. Michelle?
Excellent work. Thank you for sharing that and then how it's working for you, because she's taking all the steps to be monitoring things and being proactive to do prevention, and that's great.
Yeah. Thank you. Again, now, where do you go to get, if you want those alerts, how do you do that?
If you want to do the individual alerts with your credit card, you need to go to your credit card company for that. If you want to be alerted that someone's trying to take out a new credit card or a bank loan, that's a fraud alert with the credit reporting agencies. And if you're a victim of identity theft or not, that is a free service. It can be for 90 days or longer and renewable. But the freeze is what you pay for, the security freeze on your credit report. You go to each of the three credit reporting agencies, pay the $10, and then that's set up. And we have all this information on our website. If you go to datcp.wi.gov, or if you don't have access to a computer, you can call 1-800-422-7128, and we can mail you out a fact sheet that contains how to put a freeze in place.
Very good information. And Pat, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. And you're a smart lady from the sound of it. You've done a good job. Let's turn to Mike and Ladysmith next. Mike, hi.
Good morning. Yeah, I just heard that the nice lady mentioned about the fact that she didn't know about her subscriptions. All the legitimate subscriptions that I deal with, right on your address label, will show the date and the month and the year of your end of your subscription. So I just wanted to pass that on to you, Larry.
Yeah, that's a very good point, and that's what I do. I go to my label and check there, and pretty much every magazine I have at least has that on.
Right. And, these phony magazine subscription calls, that's something that targets senior citizens. So just be aware of that. And if you're somebody who has an elderly parent or a friend, make sure that they're aware of that, too, and they don't fall victim to that particular scam.
You can join in, too. Open lines at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Christine emailed us and wondered if you could explain what and who is exempt from the no-call list. Why are the change you rate with mortgages and credit card calls not exempt? And how do they get your number?
Well, those calls are not exempt. They're illegal.
They're illegal.
And they're violations of both state and federal do not call laws. And how they get your number, a lot of those calls are just auto-generated by computer dialers, and they just call through an area code. And it seems like they go in waves, and we'll hear from 608, and then we'll hear from 262, so it's auto-generated by a dialer. The do not call list is a great way to kind of screen the calls you receive, because if your number is on the list and you get one of these calls, it's from somebody that's violating state and federal law, so why would you engage with the caller? And we recommend very strongly that you not engage with the caller, don't call the number back, don't press any numbers, because if you do, you're likely to get more calls.
Roman in Wausau, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I thought this might be interesting to some of the folks. We live here in Wausau, and a couple years ago, whatever department that has stage plays was putting on a play that was named something about Las Vegas, whatever. And my wife went over and bought the tickets with our credit card, and at the same time, I'm buying a fish fry downtown with the same number on the card. And so my credit card company called me, and they said, Roman, are you in Las Vegas? And I said, no. Well, they said, somebody's using your card out there. Trying to buy a show ticket, and so we're going to cancel your card. So that's how closely they were monitoring our transactions. That really surprised me with all the hundreds of thousands that they might have involved with. But at any rate, they canceled my card, and the next year, when my wife went to buy tickets over at the school, I said, well, for goodness sakes, have them charge it to the school, not to my... Yeah, that's an interesting story, but that's exactly what happened. Anyway, I just thought I'd put it in for you.
Thanks, Roman. And something not quite the same, but I think I've mentioned on the show before, I got a call from the credit card company saying, you know, did you order something online and are you having it sent to Arizona? And I, no.
Right.
And they said, well, somebody's hacked your card, and so I had to get a new card. In that case, I had to have a new card. It wasn't a relative charging.
Yeah, they do monitor that very carefully because every year they're losing millions and millions of dollars to fraud. So they have an incentive to carefully watch this.
And Roman, thank you again for calling. Appreciate your call. It's one reason I tend to use, if I've got my choice between a credit card and a debit card, I'll use the credit card. Just because I've got protection there.
Absolutely. The credit card protections are really good as far as, you know, what you're responsible up to. They've really ramped up their fraud departments in the last few years because, as Sandy says, it's costing them millions of dollars with the identity theft against that. And those federal protections are in place. You can dispute those charges. So, yeah, good choice.
Sue and Marinette, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to let people know, and your gals from the state know, that I'm really annoyed with the state of Wisconsin selling our name to scammers. We bought a new car last summer and barely had it in the driveway when I started getting notices that our warranty was expired, which I knew had to be a scam. We got this very official-looking letter like the scammers will always send. So I went out because I thought perhaps the dealership was selling our name, and I protested to them, and they told me that this is very common and it's the state of Wisconsin that's selling our name, and I object.
Yeah. Well, is Michelle, are you selling people's...
Well, the Department of Transportation, through records requests and public records law, has to release information, but consumers can opt out. You can opt out of having your name included in that, and I think you can do that through their website, but it's also, I believe, part of the sales transaction when you're making the vehicle purchase. You need to read every single one of those things you're initialing and not let them automatically check those boxes. Don't check that box if you don't want it checked. I think some may have experience with that here. This happened to me, too. And I did check the box not to release my name, and I also checked a box opting out of future telemarketing calls. So it does pay to read every line of all those 20 or 50 forms that you're required to sign when you buy a car.
There you go, Sue. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Good reminder. David in Platteville, your turn. Hi, David.
Hi, Larry. Larry, a couple times a year I get these suspicious postcard-sized letters from an automobile extended service warranty company. And more times than not, they're based out of St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah. After I call them up and... I think they got some kind of boiler room operation down there, and I just want people to be aware of that. And my second thing was, lately I've been getting these tape-recorded calls from a very serious-sounding person saying that the IRS has seized my assets, and I need to call them right away so they can help me out. That's all I have to say, Larry.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for calling, and that's the scam. I hope you didn't call back, David. But that's exactly what they do, these scammers.
Yeah, and it sounds very scary, and you may feel like you really need to call back and see what this is about, but remember, the IRS does not call people over the phone. They send a a letter through the mail when they want to contact you, and they'll set up an appointment. These extended warranty offers are something that we've seen a lot, and these companies have been the subject of federal and state investigations and enforcement actions in the past. And the sales mailers make it look like it's extending the manufacturer's warranty on your vehicle, but in reality, it's a service contract, and it's not an extension of the original manufacturer's warranty. So if we would like to hear from you if you're getting these. We're looking at them very closely, looking for possible violations of state law. And you can file a complaint on that or any other issue by going online at datcp.wi.gov or call our toll-free hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
Now, here, I got one of those postcards myself the other day, and I didn't keep it. I should have kept it to give it to you. I could have handed it over today.
Likely we've seen it before, but it's in good to turn it in just in case it has a new twist to it. We want to look at each of them.
Thanks, David. Donald in Columbus, we'll get to you in just a minute. A reminder to you as you listen in that our guests today, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests. I'm Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at consumer protection issues today with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening in. Join in with your own questions or comments or concerns, maybe an experience to share. 1-800-642-1234. Or email at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Donald in Columbus, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, appreciate the call.
I got more telemarketer stuff. I get every once in a while these spoofing calls. There will be a local number that will call me, and it's a recording, you know, press 9 now for more information, blah, blah, blah. And I always call my cell phone company and let them know that these telemarketers have taken one of their phone numbers and called me with it, you know, or somehow they've routed it through that. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is I was wondering, whatever happened to this, you know, when there's a repeat call to somebody on a do not call list, what was that way back, $500 per call, or, you know, how does that happen, and has it ever happened? Has anybody ever collected any damages for these repeat telemarketers? And I'll hang up.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Well, as it relates to the $500 for the telemarketers that Donald was talking about, that's if a consumer takes an individual action against a telemarketer for the phone call and the harassment call that they received, so they would need to take the action in court. We proceed with state actions against telemarketers who are violating the state do not call registry, and that doesn't involve any individual restitution for consumers. It involves civil forfeitures and those types of penalties from the company that go to the state fund that way for those violations.
Yeah, but if the telemarketer is engaged in fraudulent activity, there can be some form of injunctive relief that could involve restitution to impacted consumers.
Jackie in Barneveld has something for us. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. This is a great show. I love this show. It's my favorite show on public radio.
Thank you.
Well, I think there's a lot of people need some help out there based on what I hear on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to share something that my husband and I do. I'm originally from the United Kingdom, but a proud American now. And so I do some shopping online in the UK. I also travel to Europe quite a bit. So with our credit cards, we have them set up so that they can only be used all of the time in Wisconsin, USA. And when we travel outside of Wisconsin, we let the credit card company know when we're going to be in those other areas so that they can allow access. I once tried to use my credit card at my sister's store, and it was declined because I'd forgotten to take it off, which is kind of embarrassing. But there's an 800 number you can call. But we also have it set up that certain merchants that we deal with regularly in this country and overseas are listed as ones that they can accept charges. And before we did this, we used to frequently get calls about, we think your credit card's being used, you know, in Italy or in England, and now we don't get those calls because those are legitimate transactions. And it takes a few minutes of effort, but most of us have pretty routine lives. And once we know what we normally do, the credit card companies are really receptive to this. And because, as you said earlier, they no more want us to have fraud than we do.
Yeah. Well, great points, Jackie. Thanks. Sandy, a comment from you?
Yeah. Before you travel overseas, you need to have good communication with your financial institutions and let them know that you'll be traveling. Also, when you're traveling within the U.S., you should let them know as well, because we've heard from various callers today about how they're notified of potential fraud, and they will shut off access to your credit card and potentially leave you stranded. So it's interesting to hear that they're willing to work with you on a flexible basis given your particular needs.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you so much. John in Partyville, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Larry.
Morning.
Yeah, I've had it up to my eyeballs with these telemarketers, and I've listed the ones that I've remember to, you know, before I canceled it out on the phone. I've got over 65 of them. And finally the other day, well, I've been calling the National Do Not Call list for, you know, a long time, and it doesn't seem to help. It might stop them for a week or something like that, but then it seems like they start back up again. And anyway, so the last here a little over a week ago, I called a Do Not Call list, and this one gal give me this Federal Trade Commission number, and it's 202-326-2222. And the listeners should write down a few of those dates and times and numbers so that when you get a hold of the Federal Trade Commission, they'll ask you, you know, of some of the most recent ones.
Thanks for calling. Michelle, a comment?
Sure. The Federal Trade Commission is our federal partner. They're the national consumer protection entity, and we partner with them on many of our investigations that we receive regarding telemarketing. So we're in a position where we'll be forwarding complaint information to them that we receive. If individuals go to our website, we have a no-call fast-track form where you can list your phone number and the number that you're receiving a call from, a very limited form where you're just reporting information. You're not expecting us to write you back and do all that. You're feeding us information that's coming in on your caller ID so we can follow up, and then we do forward that to the Federal Trade Commission. So either way, good to be collecting the information and reporting what you're experiencing, but making sure your number is on the Do Not Call registry, because these callers, they're just crooks in reality. Yeah. They are just trying to get something for nothing, and they're not obeying the laws. And as Sandy said earlier, why do you want to do business with someone who's not obeying the laws?
Yeah, and I want to encourage people to file a complaint with us or the FTC when it comes to these telemarketing calls, because so many new ones pop up all the time. And when we hear from you, it enables us to kind of connect dots and get the word out to the public that this is something new to watch out for and to let people know how they can protect themselves.
Julie in Madison, you're next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind, Julie?
I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago, and so you may have answered this, and I apologize, but I would like to know the difference between the credit card protection and the debit card protection. My bank told me that I was totally protected with when I used my debit card, but it sounded like to me, from what I heard, that's not true. So I would like to know.
I think it may vary a bit with the bank, Michelle.
Absolutely. So you want to get in writing from your financial institution how that debit card works and what protections that you have, and make sure that you fully understand them. Because a debit card is connected to your bank, your bank account. And sometimes you're using it as kind of the old-fashioned time card, the ATM card, and sometimes you're using it as a credit card with a PIN number and things. So you want to understand the differences in using it, the different charges you may experience in using it as kind of a cash card instead, and then if it's compromised, what protections you have. Because if someone has that PIN and uses it as a cash card and drains the account, are you protected with it the same as you would be if using it as a credit card, where they would just stop and charge back and replace it? So the fine lines between them, and they do vary, so you need to know. Whereas the credit cards, the protections across the board are typically the same, where you have a period to dispute the charges. You're not responsible for charges over a certain amount of money, because those are federally stated.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's helpful.
Yeah.
I'll go over to the bank and talk to them.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Banks with credit unions sometimes do the same thing, Michelle? You have?
As I understand, I mean, credit card, financial institutions, regardless of type, they typically issue different kinds of cards. So.
All right, there we go. Well, let's see. We've got lots of callers online, and you know what? We need to take a quick look at the news. So. Mark and Duluth and Rosemary and Hayward and Joya and Fitchburg, hang on there, and we'll be back with you in just a minute. We are visiting today with Sandy Chalmers. Sandy, by the way, is Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Number to call, we have an open line. Call us at 1-800-642-1234 with your question, and we'll be back right after this look at the news. We are taking a look at consumer scams and consumer fraud today. Larry Mueller here, my guest Sandy Chalmers, and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They come by once a month to talk with us about these kinds of things, and always some sad stories and a lot of times some good stories, because people have been paying attention and have learned from the show and maybe from elsewhere as well how to avoid getting scammed. So you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Mark in Duluth, Minnesota, up next. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon, Larry. I've got two questions for your guests, but
okay.
Before I ask those, I'd like to make a quick comment on you and your show. I'm a Wisconsin boy at heart, given the fact that I grew up there and went to school at both Madison and Whitewater.
Uh-huh.
But I've had to relocate to the Twin Cities and haven't had a chance to listen to your show very often anymore, when in the past I used to listen to it religiously. And with my traveling, I don't get to hear it much, so today as I'm cruising from Duluth to the Twin Cities, my heart was warmed when I was able to see that you're still on the air, and I just figured I would call in and let you know that my heart warmed when I heard that you're still on the radio. That's fantastic. I hope that people realize that you and your show are a Wisconsin treasure.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much.
I'll never forget a call I made to you years ago. When I think you had a guest on that was speaking about a book called Manifold Destiny, where I learned how to cook my meal on my car engine as I'm driving around the states of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and North Dakota. So I'll never forget that. Now, getting to my questions, I was wondering what your guests thought of the idea of using PayPal when making internet transactions, and instead of, just inputting their credit card number directly into the merchant, going through PayPal, getting the SMS text message on their phone where they have to enter the code so that the PayPal purchase actually goes through. Do they think that that's a good idea, or do they think it's just kind of a waste of time doing that? And then my second question is, I've got a pretty high credit rating, and I'm wondering, I've thought for many years about getting a freeze. And I understand that you can then thaw the freezes once you get them, and then you can refreeze it. I missed that portion
or caught the tail end of the portion of that conversation on that topic. Could they quickly recap that for me so that I can determine whether or not it'd be something I should do or not do, please?
Sure thing. Mark, thanks very much for your comments and for your questions. Appreciate it very much. And so let's turn to PayPal. You want to talk about that first? Services like PayPal, are they worth it?
PayPal is a legitimate service, and so many internet businesses now give you the option of using PayPal or your credit card number. What Mark describes here of the additional verification level, so that with the exchange of texts and the PIN, that's a great additional layer of security. Our concern about PayPal is the amount of fraud connected to it. People posing as PayPal and sending fraudulent emails or texts saying that there's something wrong with your account and would you verify using your bank account number or something like that. So when we hear about PayPal, that's generally what we hear as far as negative comments, just the fraudulent people posing as PayPal.
All right. And then the freeze. What about the credit freeze?
So the security freeze that you would put in place is permanent unless you release it or thaw it when you have a situation where you need to get an extension of credit. To do that, you need to contact each of the three credit reporting agencies, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, and pay them $10 because each one gets their collection to freeze your account. And then you get a password and PIN where that's what you use to thaw it, and that's how that goes. So we have information on our website on how you can contact each of the three credit reporting agencies. You can go to each of their websites. They'll have instructions to do this, but ours is datcp.wi.gov. Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is where you can just Google if you can't remember the web address.
And somebody said to me once, well, then now can I not use, then I can't use my credit card? And I said, no, you can use. Well, you explain.
No, absolutely, Larry. You can use your credit card. Any existing credit still continues to be used. This is taking out a new credit card. You can still do that. You just need to arrange that credit check that they'll be doing to issue it and thaw it temporarily, and then they replace the freeze. You have to pay the $10 again to replace it, but you can still conduct all your business that you need to. You're just doing it on lockdown.
We have Joya in Fitchburg up next. Hi, Joya.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Larry. I have been bombarded for the last 2 weeks with a scam call. They say they're calling from Microsoft, and there is something wrong with my computer, like processor or the drive, and they are asking for the address, and they can come home and fix it. So I presume it's a local call, but the number is 800 something, and I just wanted to let the other listeners know about it.
It's not. Yeah, it's probably it's not from Microsoft.
No, it's not. They have better things to do than call. They don't never call. Usually, we have to call if we need some help, and then wait for a couple of quite some time to get a human voice answering.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
I know they will not call unless it's a follow-up call for some of your problem.
Yeah.
Then you know that it's a follow-up call, but then that's different.
Yeah, don't be giving those callers any credit card information.
No, but they are asking for the address now. So they can come home, and they offer to fix the computer drive. And then I said to them, my drive is working fine, and I can see you guys are spamming me emails. So I know it's working fine.
There you go. Joya, you're a smart lady. Thank you. I appreciate the call, and it's a good reminder again. There's just another one of those scams.
It's probably the most prevalent scam that we're hearing about now, other than the IRS calls. And we've been told by the Federal Trade Commission that they're specifically targeting seniors. So this is something to watch for. And remember that, as Joya said, Microsoft will not call you out of the blue offering to fix a problem with your computer. And never give your credit card number over the phone in response to an unsolicited call.
Yeah, and as Drea says, if you've ever tried to get a hold of them, it's a pretty tall order sometimes. Joya, thank you again. I appreciate your call. I want to give Rosemary and Hayward a chance to join us. Rosemary, hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I have an unusual situation in that I was told that foreign entities sometimes handle these sites for condolences and little candle things that you put online at funeral homes. And it happened to me. I sent a message to a funeral home out of state for a friend of mine who had passed away and sent condolences to the family. And I was charged over $1,500 from Libya, they told me, for an airline ticket to New York, of which I had to pay, I can't remember if it was $69 or $89 tax, but the rest the credit card company absorbed.
So I
was told that that many of these sites are owned by foreign entities, and it's a good way to get credit card numbers.
Wow. Well, that's a new one on me. Michelle, have you heard that one?
I haven't, but I think the thing here is always knowing who you're doing business with. So
yeah,
this is probably something that, you know, you read online because it's farther away that she had. And, you know, contacting the funeral home directly to see how you can send funds or condolences another way, verifying that the website that you're seeing things at is their web address, you know, making that phone call directly to the funeral home. They're available. They list that information there. And always being cautious before you give your credit card number and making sure that it's on a secure website as well. Watching for all those pieces of information before you engage in a transaction.
I'm glad you called, Rosemary, because that's one I hadn't heard, and I've actually done that myself
mm-hmm.
on a couple of occasions. And it worked out okay for me because I must have had legitimate people on the other end. But as she points out, doesn't necessarily have to be the case, and I'll pay more attention myself if I ever have to do that again. Thank you, Rosemary. Appreciate the call. Barbara in Madison, your turn. Hi, Barbara. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a cabin up in Canada that I was recently, and I received a letter that was supposedly from an attorney in Indiana saying a gentleman with the same last name who had property in Canada but was from Indiana had died, and they could not find any heirs. I had the same last name, and if I contacted him with my information, I would get his $4.3 million estate. They did not require any proof of me being related or any DNA evidence or anything. And I just laughed at the letter and tore it up. But looking at this talk about fraud, I'm sure that's what it was. And I just wonder if they'd heard of this.
Oh, boy. You've heard of that one, haven't you, Michelle?
We have. We're both nodding our heads here. That's a classic inheritance scam. It's actually one of the things we mention in our senior guide because you get a letter out of the blue or a phone call out of the blue, and so-and-so has passed away, and you're the long-lost relative, and no one else is around anymore. So give us your information, and we'll get you some money. There may be some inheritance taxes that you have to pay. Oftentimes, it's connected to a fake check because they follow it all the way through where they send you the check for the amount of money, but it's a fake check. So you cash it, you mail back those inheritance taxes and the processing fee and the the attorney's fees from your funds, and then 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, the check doesn't clear. Now you're responsible with the bank for that money that you've done, so you're out money, plus you've given away some of your personal information to who knows. So
yeah,
that's a classic inheritance
scam. The other thing that was very, very suspicious from this supposed attorney was that he wanted to settle this within 2 weeks.
Right,
yeah.
Urgency, always
a
big flag.
Yeah, get it done right away. Barbara, thank you. I'm glad you didn't get scammed on that one. I appreciate your call. Good to remind people. Cassandra in La Crosse up next. Let's go there. Hi, Cassandra.
Hello. All right, so here's my thing. Since January, I've ended up having to have multiple debit cards, like, because of fraud. And the one, I don't know how to explain it, the one common thread, I guess, is this place called securistech.net. It is a prison phone system. Like, to be able to talk to my sister, who is incarcerated, you have to pay for phone calls. And within 2 days of me putting money on the phone so I can talk to my sister, fraud charges end up on my debit card. I just actually figured out this link in the last couple weeks after, again, I'm having to get another debit card. And I was wondering if you guys have heard of this company. Like, it's the only one that to be able to talk to.
Yeah.
People who are incarcerated, and I was wondering if you guys have heard of this recently or if it's common with this company.
We're aware that there are specific contracts to receive calls from loved ones with the prison systems, and those contracts are arranged with those institutions. And I know that there's been different kinds of issues with, you know, loading a balance, complaints of that nature, but not of a nature where the credit card information is being compromised. So it would be worth filing a complaint. Depending upon where the prison is located, it could be with Wisconsin or the Federal Trade Commission, and making sure that that information is being evaluated.
Well, is the, like, the company that we have to go through to put money on the phones, like, yeah, is that actually directly connected to the prison system, or is it like an outside company?
No, it's a vendor situation. It's a contract with the prison system, so it's not part of the prison facility.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'd be worth your while to file a complaint, because when you file a complaint, then it gets followed up on.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we'll work with the. Perhaps the prison itself, or the corrections, or Federal Bureau of Prisons, depending on what type of prison it is, to review their contract with this vendor, if that is the problem.
Yeah. Is it a prison in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I'm in La Crosse, and she is over in Oshkosh, and one of the prisons over there. But, like, it seems, you know, within 2 days of me putting... Yeah. money on the phone, and it doesn't matter if I do it over the phone, like call Securus and do a payment over the phone, or if I do it on my computer, like an iPad, my computer and everything, like, totally worked over to try to protect us, because, like, it happened, you know,
yeah,
multiple times since January, and it just, you know, like, that's the only common thread that I can think of. Like,
yeah, there are so many different factors we would need to look at. I think the best course of action is for you to file a complaint and let us follow up with you, and we'll work with you on this.
So, and just again, to file, you can phone, and they'll mail one, if you go to 1-800-422-7128. So it's 800-422-7128. Or you can just go online and get one offline at DATCP for Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So it's DATCP.WI.gov. And I hope you'll follow up, Cassandra, because it's happened to you. It may well have happened to other people, too. So something we need to take a look at. Thank you again. Let's turn to Mike in Madison next. Mike, hi.
So I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the Craigslist scams for purchasing things through Craigslist, but this is a new one to me. This is a friend of mine staying with me, and he's looking for an apartment or rental house here in Madison Dane County area in Wisconsin, and he's running into several of these scams so far, which is a new one to me on Craigslist, which is rental property scams where they're trying to get you to give money in advance to move into an apartment or a rental house, and their scam is they're out of town, but you can go, they give you the option, the address to go look at the house. They don't have a key for you, but you can wander on the outside and look at the house, and then if you decide you want it, you need to send them your first month's, last month's, and security deposit. I wonder if your guests have heard of any of this, because my friend just is, he caught it in time, but he's gotten suckered into this a couple times just this week alone on Craigslist here in Dane County.
Yeah, that's one that's been around for a few years. And what they typically do is pull a real listing off a rental or house for sale site and set up a phony account. And they'll make up some reason why they can't meet you at the property. They're in the military serving overseas, or their mom's in the hospital or something. And as Mike says, then they try to get you to pay a lot of money up front. So some things to check on and look for are a too good to be true price on an apartment rental. And if they won't meet you at the property to let you look at it, don't go any further. It's surely a scam.
And one of the things I've also noticed is that on these ads that he's shown to me, because he wasn't too familiar with the area, and he was asking me about the different areas, I noticed that in the ads, they don't list an area. They don't list where the ad is pulled. Most of the Craigslist ads say is posted, and they list the town of where the ad's from. And all these scams seem to not list a town of origin for the ad posting. And that's a good first warning signal.
Yeah,
because they don't want to be traced back.
You know, I have not used Craigslist, but I've had enough people complain about, you know, potentially getting done in or actually kind of getting shafted, that I'm leery.
Well, it's a great service, and it's free, and a lot of people use it. The thing is, whether you're buying or selling, walk in with eyes wide open and check the fraud page on the Craigslist website and read up on the most recent fraud and scams that are out there.
And I have had, you know, in fairness, a relative has used it, I wouldn't even guess how many times, and never had a problem. So, I shouldn't say that it always is a problem, but I've heard enough on this radio show.
Yeah, you just hear it from us, Larry.
I just don't want to do it. Well, here we are out of time again. Boy, the time flew by. And I'm sorry, we did have Aaron said he's had good experiences with PayPal and has something, apparently had a good experience with how they dealt with a fraudulent experience. So that's good to hear as well. And you guys will be back, I think your next appearance is June 2nd.
I think we're on the first Thursday of the month.
Yeah, it's always the first Thursday of the month, and the first Thursday of the coming month is the second. So, great. In the meantime, have a great month of May.
You too, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. All kinds of things. Go to their website, datcp.wi.gov. You're going to learn a lot more. You'll get to your forms to, if you want to fill out a form, you can get it right there. And Garden Talk coming up tomorrow with some folks from the UW-Madison Arboretum. Thanks for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.